Praise the Lord.
Alleluia.
We talk about the fig tree and prayer today. If you remember last week, we spoke about the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, and this is continuation. In Mark chapter 11, verse 13 and 14, it says, "And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, 'Let no one eat fruit from you ever again.' And his disciples heard it." Now we read in verses 20 to 26. "Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.' So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you are stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, but your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Amen.
Amen.
Jesus entered Jerusalem on Sunday, and he gave this teaching on Monday and Tuesday. This text is more meaningful than just a simple case of cursing a tree. Jesus was hungry, and the tree didn't produce fruit as it should have done. While it was not the season for figs, fig trees produce small eatable buds before beginning to grow the actual fruit. So a tree that doesn't grow those buds won't produce any fruit later on. There will be no harvest. Seeing that the tree has nothing to offer, no anticipated harvest, Jesus denounced it. In Jeremiah, God foreshadowed Jesus' words over Jerusalem when he said of Judah in Jeremiah 8:13, "When I would gather them, there are no grapes on the vine, no figs on the fig tree, even the leaves are withered, and what I gave them has passed away from them." Israel is also compared to the figs in Jeremiah 29, Hosea 9, and Joel 1:7, all in the context of God's judgment on the people. Jesus' action against the tree is a sign that God is about to judge Israel. The tree looked good. It had leaves, but it produced no figs, so it is useless. The temple looked great. It was rebuilt by Herod the Great 50 or 60 years before, but the religious leaders, they bore no fruit. The Jewish religious and political leaders had worked against Jesus from the beginning. Now they wanted him to be killed. They rejected him as a Messiah. A tree that does not produce fruit is useless. It will have the most beneficial impact if it dies and something new that is fruitful takes its place. In this case, the faltering spirituality of Israel was in the process to bring replacement by the new covenant of the church. As a fig tree was useless for providing fruit, so the Jewish religious leaders in Jerusalem are useless in fulfilling their task of leading their people into sincere worship of God and blessing the Gentiles. And so both the tree and Jerusalem will be destroyed. Even today, Israel is looking back to what God has done for them in the past. He had always protected them. He divided the Red Sea. He stopped the Jordan from flowing. Whenever they cried to him, he answered them. But there was no fruit. How many Christians today are producing fruit? The average Christian goes to church on Sunday and prays the Give Me Prayer. I started to read the Bible when I was 8 years old. I read every day. I usually prayed as far back as I can remember. I read the Bible because I thought God would punish me if I didn't read it. I prayed because I believed that God would judge me, punish me, and give me a bad day if I didn't pray. As my father was a pastor, I went to church since my birth. I made Bible courses. I knew more about the Bible than many others. I never did anything evil. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. I was a model of Christianity, of a real Christian, but I didn't have a relationship with God. I was religious, but never produced any fruit until I was born again. It's good if you evaluate your own life. Are you religious? Or do you have a relationship with God? The religious leaders were very religious, but they didn't do what God demanded of them. The fulfilling of rules and laws doesn't change your life. It doesn't bring you closer to God. These are the people God will say, "Away from me, I don't know you." If Jesus was telling a parable, he was telling a parable that those who do the will of God the Father will be blessed. He then continued in Mark 25, verse 41 to 45. Then he will also say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." We are Christians, and we are here to produce fruit, like the fig tree. Producing fruit is loving God, preaching the gospel, sharing your faith, doing charity, going the extra mile, praying for people, and blessing them. He has done so much for you. What do you do for him in return? The second part of Jesus' teaching is about praying. In Mark 11, 22-24, it says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Amen. There are many who pray and pray and pray and nothing is happening. They say, "Give me this, give me that, protect me here and there." They pray for their problems to be removed. "God, take away my problem." But Jesus said, "Have faith in God." Very simple. Have faith in God. God loves you so much that he wants you, that he wants the very best for you. You can move mountains if you have faith in God. By faith, you believe that when you pray, you will get an answer. If you don't have this faith, stop praying. You believe that God knows your every need and he will supply you. In the same way, you can pray for mountains in your life that need to be removed. But instead of begging God, you can do it yourself. Jesus said, "Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Then you say to the mountain, 'Be removed from me. Be cast into the sea.'" You can speak to your problem and say, "Go away." You can speak to your sickness and say, do not belong to this body. This body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Get out." If you have faith in God, you don't need anyone to pray for you. Jesus said, "Whatever he says to this mountain," whoever says to this mountain, who is whoever? That includes you. Whoever includes you. Begin with the small things. Remove the small things by speaking to them. And then increase the mountain and command it to leave. There are a couple of things that you need to be successful. First, he said, believe that those things he says will be done. Believe that those things you say will be done. He will have what he says. So if you speak, you will have what you say. When you move the mountain, believe that it has moved, even if you don't see it moving. Believe because it will be done. Believe that you have already what you need before you see it. Often in prayer, we ask for something, we don't see the answer straight away. Maybe next day, after 1 week, after 1 month, you have the answer. If you have prayed like this, but you don't see the result, there is a second thing that needs to be done. In verse 25, And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Unforgiveness is a stopper of results to prayer. There are people who were never forgiven all their life. They prayed and prayed, they worshipped, they did the whole program, but it was all for nothing. If you don't forgive, your life is blocked. If you don't forgive, your life is sick. A lot of sickness is caused by an unforgiving spirit. Many people, they never forgave, they were sick. And when they were delivered and forgave, they were healed instantly. Jesus said, if you don't forgive your Father in heaven, if you don't forgive, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. That needs to be marked. Somebody who does not forgive will not be forgiven. And there are many people who never forgive. They always come up with the same old story. Even after years, they still tell how much a person has hurt them, how much they are against that person. And they wonder why they have so many problems in their lives. To forgive means to leave it. Bless the person who wronged you. Pray for them. Stop reminding yourself of what they have done. When your forgiveness is complete, ask whatever you want. Believe that you have it. Jesus said, whoever, that includes you and me, says to this mountain be removed, it will be done. Let's move mountains. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you already have it. Even before you open your mouth, already you have it. Have faith in God and believe that He wants your best. He blessed your life, but He wants you to bear fruit. One fruit is forgiveness, or love, care for others, gentleness to others. It's best described with this word, with this. Whatever you want others to do to you, do to them first. If you don't want trouble, problems, people who dislike you, nobody wants us. So, if you want others to be nice to you, be nice to them first. If you want others to bless you, bless them first. If you want others to help you, help them first. The more you do these things, the more you begin to enjoy it. And the more you enjoy it, the more you are blessed and produce fruit all by itself. So remember, Jesus expects fruit. Because He didn't see it, He cursed the tree. The fig tree died. Only 37 years later, Jerusalem was destroyed and the people taken away as prisoners. This was in the year 70 AD, and it's not until 1948 that the state of Israel was reborn. The good is that whatever we ask, we have it. Some people pray so hard for something And they don't get it because they pray wrong. So have faith in God. Ask for the mountain to be removed and believe that He gave it to you. Your Father will supply all your needs. In Matthew, I want to finish with Matthew 7, verse 11. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Amen.
Amen.